Your agency, yep, yours, is going to have to help pay for the credit monitoring and identity protection services for the 21 million current and former federal officials whose data was stolen from the Office of Personnel Management. OPM tells agencies it will raise its fees and require agencies to contribute funding this year and for the next two to help pay for these services. Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller joins me now with details and some of the reaction. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
I imagine this plan is really popular, but why is OPM passing the hat? They just don't have the money themselves?
Correct, and it's always popular when you pass the hat. We saw that over the years when OMB tried that with the eGov initiative.
Yes,
nobody likes to pass the hat.
Or they just put 10 cents in it.
Exactly, everyone did. What it comes down to, basically, is OPM's budget just isn't big enough to handle this type of request. Now, think about this, Tom. For 4.2 million people, that's the first data breach. OPM estimated it cost them anywhere from $18 to $20 million to get the emails out, to do the notifications, to hire the contractor, et cetera. So if you just, do the math on that and say, well, let's make it easy, $20 million for 4 million people. So what's it going to be? So that's five times as much. So that's $100 million potentially that's going to cost them. And we're not even sure really what it's going to cost them. But even if you just do the simple math, their budget for 2015, their discretionary budget, was only $240 million. And the request for 2016 for discretionary spending was only $272 million. So if half of that budget would have to go to pay for this breach, obviously they just don't have the money. Now, the frustration part is, obviously, Tom, is OPM was responsible for the breach for the most part. And why are other agencies having to pay for it? And I think that's the piece here that people are kind of doing a little bit of head scratching this morning.
Yeah, it kind of blows a hole in the whole idea of one government acting as a unit, really, when it gets to these kinds of intramural fights. But do they have a formula for how much people would pay? That is to say, is it in proportion to how many of a given agency's people were affected?
It's more about
how many. Do they even know that?
So because they're not saying to you, Tom, or your agency X or agency Y, you had 10,000 people or you had 5,000 people, so therefore you have to pay X amount of dollars, they're raising rates. So basically, when you have security clearances that OPM processes, agencies already were paying a fee. Now they will pay a higher fee. The challenge here is that OPM is also giving agencies a retrospective or a retro raise or an increase. So they're saying, okay, going forward, starting August 3rd, you'll get new prices for security clearance processing. But we're also going to look back and see how many security clearances you did between October and June, or you asked for new hires, reinvestigations, and we're going to charge you retrospectively as well. And I think that's where the rub is coming in is agencies can plan going forward. One agency official told me, listen, if the price is raised, we could figure it out. We could slow down the hiring. We would know what our budget is going forward. The problem is when you go backwards, we didn't plan for that increase. So now we're going to have to find the money to plan for that increase. And agencies, with the larger the agency, the more money they'll pay. So OPM Acting Director Beth Colbert sent a spreadsheet out to all agencies detailing their estimated costs. I've tried to get a hold of that spreadsheet. It's very sensitive information. But one federal official who has seen the spreadsheet told me a little bit about it. And basically, the way OPM has set it up is you get money going forward, your new rate, money going backward, meaning the October to June cost that they're estimating.
Almost like a special assessment.
Cost. Say again?
It's almost like a special assessment.
Almost, right. And I think that's the frustrating point, because here we are, Tom. It's July, almost heading into August. The federal year ends the end of September. A lot of money's been obligated. A lot of money's already been spent. And now agencies are told, it's got to come out of your discretionary budget. Give me X amount of dollars. This one agency official said their fee, if you will, was over six figures. How much over six figures? Again, I don't know. I don't know specifics. But just take to the count that this agency is not the biggest agency, not the smallest agency. And they're kind of, obviously, so DOD, VA, DHS, some Justice, Treasury, all will have much bigger bills. That's the logic.
I guess you could say, if you wanted to really be tough on OPM, that since they knew about the breach long before they let word of it out, they could have given agencies earlier warning that it's likely they're going to have to spend this kind of money.
Or they could have just raised the rates and not told anyone why.
I guess.
That's how a lot of people do it. I mean, if you think about why gasoline goes up, it's not because necessarily the price of oil has gone up. It's because they see down the road that if you think about the summertime where people drive, the prices automatically go up. I'm not sure it's a fair comparison, but it's something that I think we all can relate to because we all obviously buy gas for our cars.
Now, Jason, you have published the memo or the email coming from Beth Cobert to the agency heads. And what it states is that she's got some pretty big people backing her in this request, namely the White House.
Right. I think that's the key here, that this, and remember, she came from the Office of Management and Budget. This is something that Office of Management and Budget officials told me that they're fully behind, and that's something they want to make sure people know, that this is not just OPM acting as OPM. OMB looked at this from a broad perspective and said, listen, there's no other way to fund this without Congress jumping in. And I don't think OMB, the White House, OPM thought the Congress would want to help on this one. I mean, they have not been the most supportive group when it comes to this breach. And I think that's part. So I think that's part of the reason why they thought this was the better way to go. Now, obviously, other people believe differently. Other people believe Congress should pay for it because, you know, in the end, it may be OPM's responsibility, but Congress is held as much accountable for these problems as anybody else.
And also, I guess the question should come up at this point, is the credit monitoring cost the type of cost associated with the contract that they handed to Windvale and CSID for the first batch of breaches? Is that the only cost that OPM will incur because of all this breach?
Right. It's hard to say. I mean, 21 million people is a lot of people. When you do comparisons to the private sector, Anthem or JP Morgan Chase or Target, it's unclear how much if they've had to spend other money. I mean, obviously, OPM is spending money on security upgrades. We know that. They asked for more money from Congress for that. $32 million for IT upgrades, not just security, but IT more generally. In 2016 budget, they went back with a supplemental, though it's been hard to find out how much that supplemental was. To the Senate Appropriations and House Appropriations Committee to for more IT security upgrades. But out of their own pocket, you know, there's credit monitoring and there's identity theft. And then there's the discussion, Tom, 3 years, which is what OPM seems to be leaning toward, versus lifetime, which is what the unions and some members of Congress are pushing toward. So obviously, if it's lifetime, that's a much, much bigger bill than just 3 years. And then, Tom, we can also go down the path, if you want, about whether credit monitoring services even matters. Should they even be offering it? Does it even help?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's no evidence that any of this information has been used in the way that would be mitigated by credit monitoring at this point, because a lot of people believe, a lot of the investigators, I think the intelligence community and DOD believe that it's really being used for strategic espionage purposes, and they don't really care about your credit card information and your address if, in fact, it's the Chinese government.
Correct. And while no one's come out and said it's the Chinese government, you know, everyone seems to be pointing that one finger. It's interesting around credit monitoring services. In fact, several House lawmakers have asked the Government Accountability Office to look into whether credit monitoring services are useful and adequate. Congressman Fred Upton, Frank Polony, Michael Burgess, Jan Schakowsky, Tim Murphy, Diana DeGette all wrote a letter to GAO saying, you know, can you review these services and provide recommendations to provide consumers? They're not just doing it based on this OPM brief, but they're looking at the whole environment and how many cyber breaches have occurred over the last year and a half, and how these companies, not just OPM, but companies, again, Target, Anthem, JP Morgan Chase, I can go on and on and on, they automatically offer credit monitoring. And what these Congress people are doing is saying, hey, does this even matter? And so GAO is starting to look into this. They sent a July 20th letter. So it's going to be obviously 6, 8, 9 months before GAO comes up with something. But I think that's going to be key, you know, what GAO finds of whether these services are really worthwhile. And that may also play into the long term of OPM's decision. Now, they may give them three years to start and decide that's enough, or they may, with GAO's recommendation, say we're going to change it to a lifetime. Who knows?
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. Two other factors. One, there's a big lawsuit. A couple of lawsuits might be launched or have been launched over the data breach. And so if there's a settlement there, that's another cost that's hard to predict at this point. And the other point is the cost estimate of credit monitoring is assuming that 100% of the people sign up and want it. So far, it's been 20%. And even that's outside of industry norms for these types of things, where usually 1% or 2% of the people actually take up on the service. So the damages could be actually much lower than is being estimated by OPM at this point.
Correct. And I think that's part of the reason why OPM's not just charging agencies a flat fee per se. They're saying, how many security clearances did you do earlier? How much, you know, and going forward, what will your rate be? So if you end up only needing, you know, 30 security clearances instead of 60, you're only going to pay for 30. So I think that's at least a more pragmatic approach versus just sending a bill to everyone. Hey, you're a big agency, pay X amount of dollars. You're a small agency, pay Y amount of dollars.
And it looks like J. David Cox, the president of the American Federation of Government Employees, has become a federal financial analyst in all of this, too.
Well, his people have, at least, right? And this is an interesting point that the AFGE brings up. Number one, they call on Congress to fund it. This shouldn't be coming from the agencies. But number two, and I think this is key here, they're saying, is this request, this pass the hat request, violating something called the purpose limitation of the Anti-Deficiency Act? Now, what the Anti-Deficiency Act says, Tom, just in case if our listeners aren't as familiar with it, is you can't spend money you don't have, or you can't spend money outside of what the appropriations tell you you can spend it on. And AFGE brings up the fact that passing the hat and asking agencies to pay for these services, is this outside of the purpose limitation rule under the Anti-Deficiency Act, which says agencies can only spend money for those purposes for which those monies were appropriated for? Now, obviously, if OMB signed off on this, if OPM signed off on this, you have to expect the lawyers really looked at this hard, and this was not just done by two people in a room saying, yeah, this is a great idea, let's do it this way. But I think AFGE does bring up some interesting rules that, obviously, as part of their lawsuit potentially, or, you know, going forward, they could, I guess, file a different lawsuit. Could GAO, could someone else make a ruling that this did indeed violate the Anti-Deficiency Act, despite the fact that the lawyers said they don't think it does? So I think that's a key something to watch of whether how that plays out and how aggressively AFGE pursues it. If they don't pursue it, Tom, if we don't hear much more about it, I think it was just a way for AFGE to bang the drum and raise the attention of Congress. But so I think that's something that's going to be very interesting to go forward.
All right. So where does this all stand now? Is the request basically an order and agencies have to find money right now in the 2015 budget?
Yes, because and what's interesting is I talked to one agency official who told me, even if we'd say we're not going to pay this, OMB could apportion the money and just take it from us. So even if we think, well, we're just going to tell them we don't have it, we're not paying for it, tough, OMB could come back and force the issue. So from that official's perspective, yes, this is a done deal. Agencies are paying for it. Going forward, they're going to have to make some big decisions in 2016 and 2017 of how many people they're going to hire, how many people need background investigations and security clearances, because that's going to play into the role. I mean, even if it's just a 10% increase, an agency may step back and say, well, instead of 100 people, only 90 people now are going to need these background investigations because we don't have the funding to pay for the 100. And I think that's another key piece to watch going forward.
All right. Some good reporting by Jason Miller, Federal News Radio's executive editor. Thanks so much for giving us the latest here.
Always a pleasure, Tom.